Hello, I'm Trevor Dan, and this is the Radio Today programme, a weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. This week we'll talk to Grant Stott, who's leaving 4th One in Edinburgh after 27 years on air. He's going off to do a one-man comedy show, and I think it'll be very funny. Grant started on the air after a career as a policeman. His brother John Leslie is more famous than he is, but not perhaps in Edinburgh. We've got David Lloyd's Radio Moments as well, and of course Stu Clarkson with the news. But first, to the land of the high bees.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
So, Grant, 27 years. That's a life sentence. but why quit now?
I don't think I'm quitting, to be honest. I think I will always be on the radio somewhere, somehow. I think it's become such a large part of my life. You just said there, 27 years is a huge chunk of my life, and it's become such a big part of what I do. I don't think I'll ever not do the radio. I'm just going to be taking a bit of time out of the day-to-day commitment that commercial radio is. It's such a big commitment now, 4-hour shows, and I've been very fortunate in the last sort of 5 or 6 years that I've built up quite a big, portfolio away from radio, doing stage work and the like, and I've got a chance now. Timing is very important, and I think with commercial radio moving in the direction that it is, 4th One moving in the direction it is, and me hitting the age that I am, I'm very conscious of all these things. So I would rather that I made the sort of conscious decision to step down before we had that god-awful smashy and nicey moment of getting marched out the building.
I was going to ask you how it feels to sit there day in, day out, playing Rag and Bone Man and Justin Bieber and the others. There must come a point where you think, I'm not as comfortable with this playlist as I used to be.
And this was part of what I said when I sort of signed off. I signed off when I made the announcement on air at the early part of the week. I made up this sort of, I took a little homage to our tune with Simon Bates and said that, I'd had this long-lasting 27-year relationship with this woman called Radio 4th, but we've changed lately. Our wants and desires are different, and we just don't want to sing the same songs anymore. And that was kind of my way of saying, music is moving in a certain direction on this station, and we're just perhaps not as compatible as we should be. So, and I'm aware of that, and I don't want to be overstaying my welcome. My passion for music isn't quite in this particular era, as you say. Little Mix, Justin Bieber, and Rag and Bone Man doesn't quite sit with me as perhaps other genres do.
The other thing I was wondering about, given that you are a character, a personality, as you were saying, you love going on stage, you're going to be doing a one-man show, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but I wonder how you feel about the constraints that have come into particularly commercial radio in the past few years of really not being allowed to say very much.
I won't lie, it's not been easy. It has been a struggle, and certain managers have managed me better than others when it's come to how best to work with me on air. And I like to think I come from the old school of style of radio broadcast, where you come in because of what you've got to say and the passion for the tunes that you're playing. And commercial radio is moving in a direction which doesn't necessarily allow that to be as important as it perhaps once was. So it's become more and more difficult, and I've dealt with all the changes over the years as best I can, but I don't know if I've got another fight in me.
Grant, let me just drill down a bit and talk about that. What do the managers say to you about why it's necessary for you to shut up and play the music? In an era of streaming services where everybody's got every record ever made in their pocket, isn't radio going to be increasingly about personality and character?
Well, that has always been my argument, and that's always been my, well, look, why are you paying me all this money to sit on this show if you're not going to allow me to speak and to chat? And I have to be honest and I have to be fair and say certainly the recent incumbents of management that we've had at 4th have very much done their level best to allow me to bend the format, if you like, and be myself as much as they possibly can. And I have to give them credit there. But I know that it's moving further and further, and it's going to be more difficult to do that. I agree. I think that, you know, and I would think that because that's what my background is, that the personality and the presenter is so important to engage with the listener. But it is the way that the industry has gone. It's not just me having a manager at Forth and discussing this. It's industry wide. It's right. It's up and down the length and breadth of the country. That's how radio is these days. And, you know, the old boys like myself, we just have to, you know, sort of get on with it and work around it as best we can. There's not a lot we can do to change it. But the bosses say that the research and science proves that this is what listeners are looking for or asking for to tune in. So who am I to argue, you know?
Well, Michael Gove says that we should never believe in experts. So maybe we'll move on from that. or maybe we won't if it's what Michael Gove thinks. Yeah. But you're going to go out on the road and you're going to tell some stories about being behind the mic. Tales from Behind the Mic is the title of this show. Yeah. How honest and candid are you going to be, Grant?
Well, it's a show that I took to the Edinburgh Festival last year. And it went down an absolute storm. It sold out for 3.5 weeks. We put on extra shows. And I was really nervous about it because they were my stories. They were my, you know, experiences that I sort of brought to life and, you know, with the help of an iPad and a screen, played out the audio of when listeners phone in, the strange and bizarre things that they say and, you know, some things that didn't get on air for obvious reasons. But it's not an attack. It's not. I'm not going to be sort of saying that it's become such a difficult and constrained medium anymore. It is more an affectionate recollection of all the things that have happened to me and basically my story, because I was in the police for 4 years before I started on the radio, and so I tell a story how I sort of made that move across and some of the early mistakes I made on air. So it's a show that exists. It's a show that ran, as I say, for 3.5 weeks at the Edinburgh Festival, and because it sold out, we've decided to take it on tour, and we're touring it around Scotland, and I'm going to have sort of 2 or 3 months on the road with it, which I'm really looking forward to, because obviously it works really well on a level here in Edinburgh because this is my home turf, but taking it to places further afield is going to be really interesting because they won't necessarily know me as well.
It's interesting that Ian Lee did something similar last year. Danny Baker's going to take his one-man show on the road shortly. Radio is a medium, isn't it, which just gives people so many stories. You know, you can't sit with a bunch of old DJs for very long before they enter their anecdotage.
Well, this is the great thing. There are so many stories. And even as I'm sort of going about and got one half a mind at the moment now on the tour, and I need to extend the piece because it was only an hour at the festival because of the timings. But I'm going to take it out on air and do 2:45 minutes. So I need to stick on another half hour of it. And I'm driving about going, oh, I must put that in. Oh, there's also that as well. And the time that happened. So, and because of how radio has changed, I embrace that and talk about that. And also how, you know, technology now, Facebook, Twitter, gives us instant access to the listeners. And I show some examples of how wonderful listeners can be and how honest listeners can be and how brutally honest listeners can be when they want to say something to you on Twitter. And that's all part of it as well. You know, you've got to, you know, show some of the negative side of what people can say to you.
I very nearly used that terrible phrase up there in Scotland a few minutes ago, and I stopped myself from doing that. But have there been times when you've thought maybe Edinburgh or Scotland were too small a patch and you'd like to stretch out and perhaps do some work nationally? I mean, obviously your brother became very famous. Mm-hmm. Did you ever sort of want to emulate him, at least in his degree of fame?
It's interesting. I sort of dabbled with television quite a bit myself in the mid-90s. I was on TV for 3 years doing a network kids TV show called Fully Booked, which was on the weekends while Live and Kicking was off. And that gave me a sort of a gentle taste and a little introduction to what it's like being on national television. And that was coincidentally, that came from Glasgow. So we filmed it here in Scotland. But there was a time during those 3 years where I thought, well, maybe I'm going to have to push on and get down to London. And you know, because, you know, you can get to London dead easy now. It's not a problem. People commute. But to be fair, it was like, well, everything was here for me. And I had my family here. My son was just born at the end of Fully Booked, so it would have been a major upheaval to take a risk where I knew I was in a position where I could get plenty of work in Scotland. So the desire, well, we discussed it, but the desire was never really there.
Do you feel Scottish or British, Grant?
I'm both. Scottish first and foremost, and British, you know, as my sort of national heritage, if you like. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's no, I mean, as much as there's been a lot of chat about the political divide and the breaking away, and not just Europe, and, you know, I also feel European. You know, it's like I don't you know, it's because that's part of where I am and where I've been brought up. You know,
has that affected the way that Scottish radio is developing at the moment? Do you think that it's sounding more Scottish and less English in any sense?
No, I think what has sort of resonated through with the changes, not necessarily on the political side, but just on how radio has changed, is that you know when you're in a town or a city and you turn your local station on, you want to hear a voice that sounds like it's from your part of the world. And it's not that we're fiercely patriotic and we don't want English voices on our stations or anything like that. But I think it's on the same way that when you know, what's important about local radio, and we are still very local, you know, we're doing local output, you know, right the way throughout the day from sort of 6 a.m. till 7 p.m. And we are talking about things that are going on in Edinburgh, the Lothians and Fife, which is our sort of patch. And we will do that with a strong Scottish accent. And it doesn't sort of hit quite so hard if it's clear that that voice is not from this patch. And I think that works in any part of the world.
So you're not saying goodbye to radio. You're having a sabbatical. You probably won't be on Fourth One again, but might you be on another commercial station, or might you look at the BBC? I mean, you can certainly do a bit more talking when you get on a BBC station.
Yeah. Well, the plan is, and what has been, you know, discussed so far, is that there are I know that the management here are actively looking for another opportunity for me somewhere in the Bauer network, and that is kind of what the discussions are at the moment. So that's where my head is just now. I don't see anything sort of changing, but what I'm most looking forward to is having 5 months of of daytimes back to myself again. So it's going to be a long break, but I think I'm going to be able to use that to really sort of get my mojo back, if you like. I think, you know, just going harking back to what we talked about earlier on, you know, playing the sort of music that I played hasn't really sort of sparked me and things like that. So I think, you know, being away from, I mean, I know what I'm like when I'm off the radio for 2 weeks when I go on holiday in the summer. I get twitchy and I miss it. So I don't know what I'm going to be like coming off air for 4 or 5 months, but I'm really hoping that's really going to sort of reinvigorate and give me a whole new sort of passion for radio again.
I'm sure it will. Well, Grant, before I let you go, I want to play your great crooning moment. This is, I won't be the only interviewer who has asked you to talk about this. But if you go onto YouTube, you will find That's Fife, a song by you in a number of different places. Yeah. This is a really good piece of work. Where did the idea come from?
This all came about, and it was like all good viral videos. I know this is a huge part of any radio station now, is, you know, you want to do something that will go viral and go absolutely nuts. How do we do the next good viral video? Well, I could assure you the best viral stuff is accidental, and that's exactly what that was. The song That's Fife came about from our annual Radio 4th Awards. And I like to do a little bit more. Having done so many years in Panto and having done The Fringe, I always like to use that as an opportunity to get on stage and do something of a performance myself, be it sort of humour, comedy, or in this case, it was a song. And I was trying to find a song to parody that used the location of our station, Edinburgh, the Lothians and Fife. And I was struggling with the hook, and my mate, I was on the phone to him one morning saying, I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning trying to find something to use. And he goes, just do That's Life by Frank Sinatra, but just do That's Fife. I went, that is genius. So I literally went home that afternoon. I got a big Google map of Fife and the words to That's Life by Frank Sinatra, and then just Made Merry Hell, mixing the whole thing up. And then I had this idea of puppet, a poet, a pirate, a puppet. You know, instead of all that, I went, place names. So then I found all the place names, and then the two of us worked on a PowerPoint to make the video. And it went, and I'll never forget it, because I didn't even tell many people that I was going to do it on the day. And we went out on stage and did it. Nobody in the audience obviously knew what was going on. And the place went absolutely mental. And I've never experienced a buzz like that on stage before or since. And then they got it on YouTube the next day, and it just went bonk. I mean, I don't keep so much an eye on it now, but I think it's something like 209,448 hits or something like that, you know. But no, it's a real highlight.
If we play it on the Radio Today podcast...
Oh, you're going to stick it on there. Excellent.
Oh, undoubtedly. It's got to be done.
Another couple more hits in, Trevor. I appreciate that.
Grant, thank you for talking to us. Good luck with your show. And I'm sure you'll be back on the radio again very soon.
Thank
Good
you,
luck.
Trevor. Really appreciate speaking to you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. That was Grant Stott talking to us from Fourth One, where he is until the end of this month. Then he's on the road with Tales from Behind the Mic. I can't wait. This is the Radio Today programme, and here is that tune of which we spoke.
That's Fife. That's where lots of people stay. Some people work in Edinburgh, they bought a house in Dalgetty Bay. But I know if I want to go to Ochtertool, I turn off the M90 and join the A92. I said that's Fife, and as funny as it may seem, they've got two wee places on the coast called Pitt and Weem. One time I took the ferry to Zeebrugge Town, and it, but can't do that no more, cause they closed it down. I've been to Dunfermline, Glenrothes, Crossgates, Buckhaven, Cowan and Beath too, Auchtermuchty, Kirkcaldy, Kinghorn, Lochgelly, even Aberdour. Each time I find myself staring methyl in the face, I pick myself up and get the f*** out of that place. That's Fife, I tell you, I can't deny it. I saw a caravan in Lower Largo, man, I'm gonna buy it. And if you're hungry and you don't think it's going too far, let's go to Anstruther's award-winning fish and chip bar.
That's Fife, and that's Grant Scott on the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dann. Here's Stuart Clarkson with this week's news.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. And this week, Radio 2's announced it's going to broadcast a tribute to Desmond Carrington. It'll go out at 10 p.m. on the 1st of February, celebrating his 70 years on the air. Desmond retired from his Radio 2 show last autumn. He's 90 years old. Switch Digital says it's got space on its London 2 DAB multiplex and is looking for stations wanting to use the capacity. There's room for either one stereo DAB service or three DAB Plus stations. Talking of DAB, the BBC's next national pop-up station will be Radio 2 Country. They've just announced it'll return for 4 days from the 9th of March. PRS and PPL have announced they're teaming up to create a new joint licence for community radio stations in the UK. It's the first time they've worked together in the radio sector. The organisations say it'll cut down on admin costs. Alex Lester has a new weekly show, as he hinted at on the Radio Today programme here last week. He's joining BBC Radio Kent to do a Sunday evening show, 5 till 9 p.m. from next month. That's after he finishes Weekend Overnights on Radio 2. Presenter changes at the Heart Network this week. Sian Welby's joined to do the evening show just ahead of a new late show with Kat Shube. Friday and Saturday nights see Club Classics go in the mix with a new presenter, Annalise Days. And Anna Johnson also joins for an overnight show at the weekends. The former evening show presenter Roberto appears to have left Heart. Wave 105's Breakfast and Drive jocks are swapping places. Steve Power leaves the mornings after 17 and a half years. Rick Jackson and Kate Weston take over Breakfast on the Bower Station. station. Rick was previously a breakfast presenter on the South Coast with Power FM for over a decade with a show called Rick's Rude Awakening. Kay Crudson has been confirmed as the new breakfast presenter for BBC Radio York. She takes over from Georgie Spanswick, who's off to do the evening show across BBC local radio. Kay joins from BBC East Midlands, where she's been working as a weather presenter. She'd previously done the same for BBC Yorkshire and had done weekend and cover shows for Radio York. As you've been hearing, Grant Stott is taking a break from Radio 4 after 27 years on the station. He's off on a stage tour talking about his time in radio, amongst other things. And entries are now being accepted for the New York Festival's International Radio Awards. The deadline for those, the 17th of March. The prizes will be handed out in New York on the 19th of June. And that's it for this week. There's more news online, of course, at radiotoday.co.uk.
Visual radio smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
100 years of radio.
Chris Evans now hosts an established Radio 2 breakfast show, but that probably wasn't expected when 20 years ago this week he hosted his last Radio 1 breakfast show.
The disc jockey Chris Evans is leaving Radio 1's popular breakfast show. He'd asked the BBC management to have every Friday off, but it refused and he resigned.
But then we thought, will Chris turn up tomorrow? He did, and he played all the way through. He played Engelbert Humperdinck's Please Release Me, Let Me Go every hour on the hour, and talked about how miserable he was and how he wanted to leave.
Please release me, let me go.
I went down to the studio at the end of the programme and he just stormed past me and out to the waiting press telling me to fuck off. And that led to a wonderful cover of Private Eye with him, the photograph of him storming out saying, I'm quitting while I'm big-headed.
Matthew Bannister reflecting on a Radio 1 farewell from Chris Evans. There were apologies later, and the rest is history. This week last year, Capital spread once more.
Liverpool's got a brand new hit music station.
Capital is coming to Liverpool.
The biggest shows. Are you ready?
Biggest artists.
Check this out, ladies and gentlemen, listening.
All in one place. Live. Across Liverpool.
Liverpool's got a brand new hit music station.
Well, it gives me great pleasure to introduce...
Welcome to Capital Breakfast with Adam, Gemma and Imogen.
Liverpool's number one hit music station has arrived. Get in! Yes! We are Adam, Gem...
Morning.
...and Imogen.
Good morning, Liverpool.
This is Capital Liverpool.
We have been waiting so long for this moment. And
the Capital FM footprint grows in the northwest as Juice becomes Capital this week last year. Since then, it's grown a bit on reach and down a bit in hours, according to my calculations. The art of sports commentary is one which radio has embraced over the years, and this week sees the 90th anniversary of the first running sports commentary. The game was rugby, and the commentator was Harlequin captain Teddy Wakelam.
Well, the first half has been about as exciting as anyone could wish for. Oh, I can't go there. They're off again. They're changing over. Girls taking it. He's kicking to the left. Wales defending the south end now.
Come on.
Harding's throwing it in. A fairly long one. England have it. I think it's Tucker.
Teddy Wakelam. By the mid-30s, the BBC had famously appointed a chap nicknamed Lobby, who helped hone this new commentary skill. He eventually did away with the reference to squares, which was the original idea to help listeners visualise the game. His theory, I think this is clever, his theory was that listeners and viewers comprise a pyramid with the experts at the top, the enthusiasts in the middle. But he used to insist that the commentary should be aimed at the largest number of people at the bottom of the pyramid who might be entertained and educated and then seek to rise up the pyramid. There you go. Happy 90th birthday to radio commentary. This week, 44 years ago, the first commercial radio transmitters were switched on. They were in London as things were preparing for the start of the new Capital and LBC.
You're listening to an engineering test transmission being made by the Independent Broadcasting Authority. We're transmitting on 557 kilohertz, that's 539 metres, and also 719 kilohertz, that's 417 metres in the medium wave band, and also now on 95.8 megahertz FM in the VHF band. These tests are in preparation for the opening of independent local radio in London this autumn. The tests on VHF are not in stereo, but it's expected that VHF music programmes, when they begin, will include stereo.
So whilst the FM frequencies sound very familiar, the AMs were less so, and that was because the medium wave frequencies came from a temporary location at Lotts Road in Chelsea. They dangled clothesline aerials from the power stations there because the proper transmission site wasn't ready. There was all sort of planning dispute and the regulator tied up in it and everything. So LBC had to be on 417 and Capital was on 539 for the first few months of their existence. And remember, of course, back then, just about everybody was listening on AM, so it wasn't awfully helpful, was it? Capital was eventually to become famous, amongst other things, for its charity fundraising with Help a London Child. But all commercial radio came together this week, 12 years ago, to do something even bigger.
Time now to cross over to Mr. Liam Gallagher. He's going to perform an acoustic track exclusively for Radio Aid. Here we go.
Sevens did a fabulous show and Oasis came in and did great things on the day. It was the largest audience for a single programme in the history of radio in the UK. But I think it also said how powerful commercial radio can be when it can get together and get its act together.
Mark Story reflecting on the 12-hour Radio Aid, which was all across UK commercial radio raising funds for the tsunami cause. As Mark said, it featured the return of Chris Evans and set the scene for his rehabilitation. 1983 now, and what's this piece of music here?
Yes, there it is, a piece of music which we hope you'll be getting to know pretty well in the months ahead, the Radio Cornwall main theme. This is BBC Radio Cornwall. My name's Chris Blount, and, well, if you've seen any of our car stickers driving around the county lately, you'll have read that we'll be making waves soon. So it seemed appropriate that we should take to the water for our opening ceremony this morning. Here I am, indeed, about the...
I do like those joined-up marketing campaigns, don't you? Across in Devon, they're just planning the early moments of their BBC local station.
In the first hour, we've got plenty of dedications and music, as well as two new competitions that you can take part in by writing or phoning in, so something for everyone there.
And later on, we'll be mixing in lots of information and entertainment. And of course, every day we'll have our link line service, when you can phone in for specialist advice.
This morning, we'll be starting off the link line by taking a look at another new service, which is Breakfast Television. We'll also be sending our radio car to Sidwell Street in Exeter City Centre to see what you think about early morning TV.
Sounds like a great day to launch a radio station, that. Happy 34th birthday to BBC Radio's Devon and Cornwall. Here's one we must do. This week, 90 years ago, the BBC experiment in educational broadcasting began. George Dixon was a radio producer back then.
I'd go to a school and hardly understand a word. Reception was lamentable. I found that questioning children after a broadcast, which I hadn't understood at all, that they'd got everything.
Good morning, children. Will you scatter yourselves over the whole room so that each one of you has plenty of space for movement?
And 67 years ago, Listen with Mother followed.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Yes, let's begin with a quick bit of time and tune.
In a moment, yes. With your partner.
I hated those find a partner things.
Do a busy job on board the ship, like hoisting the sails. Ooh. That's heaving on a long rope to pull them up.
I know.
Or scrubbing the decks.
Scrub,
polishing the ship's wheel.
Oh, dear. Happy birthday, Programmes for Schools, born this week, 90 years ago. So, with Talk Radio UK becoming Talk Sport 17 years ago... Radio 1 poaching Key 103's JK and Joel 13 years ago.
It's Radio 1's chart show with JK and Joel.
Radio 4's Scud FM launching 26 years ago.
This is Radio 4 News FM.
And Radio 1 becoming the first station to have a million subscribers on YouTube 3 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
David Lloyd's
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and thanks, as always, to Stuart Clarkson for the news and a great deal of research, actually, this week, which was very helpful. I've been Trevor Down, and this has been a TDC production. We'll have another Radio Today programme next week. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.
Let's try a little experiment. Hey, Alexa, play BBC Radio 4.
BBC Radio 4 on TuneIn.
There's issues of gender and class that relate to this.
Not bad. Young women in particular find it... Hey, Alexa, fine line. Play Capital Radio.
Sorry, I didn't understand the question I heard.
And go too far.
Alexa, play Smooth Radio.
Smooth Radio on TuneIn.
It's a bit quiet. Alexa, play BBC Radio Nottingham.
You'd like to listen to BBC Radio Nottingham, right?
Yes.
BBC Radio Nottingham on TuneIn.
And apparently the council has said that they want to open...
Oh, well, this isn't bad. Let's try one final thing, though. Alexa, play the Radio Today programme.
Bond Radio on TuneIn.
Eh? No, Alexa, play the podcast Radio Today programme.
Here's a station you might like, Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, well done. Alexa, stop.